when you're operating in your gifts and in your calling, there's still that overwhelm. Like that overwhelm doesn't go away, but there's a different, in almost like a different presence with it, or an energy when it's your own desire as compared to what God wants you to experience.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You are in for a treat today with this incredible influencer who is empowering you to be just that. An influencer who is not just a believer, but a follower, a devout follower, one who is ready to step in action and get clarity in the process, in the becoming journey because of the abiding. Oh my gosh. Today, Austin talks about so many incredible things, how to be a catalyst, how to connect and collect and really recognize the resources that are right in your corner, how to handle stress and overwhelm, and how to decipher between overwhelm in the spirit and overwhelm in the flesh, meaning you're actually in your anointing and gifting rather than outside of it. And how do you actually flow? How do you actually stand in the fullness of who we're meant to be right now? And we're not just destination focused, we're processing focused, we're journeying focused, we're literally in the presence today focused. I love his testimony. I love who he is. I love that he is a teacher and a trainer and an equipper, not only in Marketplace, which is obviously our thing here, Marketplace Ministry, but also just in the life lessons of his bounty. So I'm excited for you guys to learn and tune in. Austin, you're such a gift and such a light. And whoo, you guys, get your pens ready. I took a whole page of notes.
Calling all his mighty messengers to the front lines, to the microphones, to the stages, to the bookshelves, to the digital platforms and beyond. This is Marketplace Ministry, and you are invited to join the movement as a messenger. I'm Tamara Andress, the one on the mic, but I honestly see it as a machete to cut through the lies, declare truth, transform narratives, and catalyze Christians like you and me to speak, write, build, and testify. I'd blow a trumpet right now if I could. This is a clarion call. It's not just time to rise. It's time to vocalize unfiltered, uncompromising, unashamed, and undeniably bold. Together, we will turn your message into a movement, igniting global change, making disciples of nations, and touching the lives of billions by doing business God's way. This is not just another podcast to listen to and get stuck into a knowledge cycle with new information. It's an initiation into a transformative movement where isolated entrepreneurship is no more and the hustle and grind biz building is not welcome. We are operating from Sabbath rest and focused on sustenance, not success. Let's go, y'all. Welcome to the Messenger Movement.
All right, guys, I'm so excited to be back with you today with a dear friend who we're actually doing a round two on the show. We did a recording a while back and the tech and the glitches and all the things were just not working. And I just was praying for us right before we came on and I just heard the Lord say, I'm doing a new thing. And that round twos are always amazing because God is going to be in the midst and it was already a plan for his round one. So you guys are about to have some fire dropped in your spirit today by my brother, Austin Blanchville, who you may or may not have heard speak at the FounderCon this past year in Raleigh, North Carolina. He is an incredible influencer in so many different ways of the words. Yes, he's got all the followers on all the social feeds and all that too. But truly he has a heart after God. And that means he is an influencer. You are an influencer. I don't care how many followers you have, neither does he. But this is a time for us to equip the people who are listening, equip the saints, Austin. And so thrilled that you are already one of those guys taking the trail ahead and grateful to have you as a friend.
So, oh my gosh. It's awesome. It's awesome to be here. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome. I love how you just mentioned, like starting off with that, how we're all influencers, how we're really designed to really step into a unique influence that only we have as Christians. And I love how you mentioned that because I'm very passionate about that as well. And I'll talk about that sometimes too, how we just have this unique opportunity to really partner with the influencer. And so that makes us very unique and special. So
It's so true. And it's honestly the secret sauce. I really believe that's what it is. When people ask me, how are you doing all of the things? Or how can you keep going at this pace? Or how are you always so happy? And I'm like, I'm not always happy. I have sad moments and frustrating moments, but it's the joy of the Lord. And that doesn't run dry when you're abiding. And so for people to understand that from a lens of leadership and business, you've had some really cool endeavors in the last couple of decades when it comes to business and how you serve people uniquely. You have entrepreneurship in your blood from your parents. And so I'd love for people to just get a little bit of a taste of what that is as we catalyze into the conversation of your zone of genius.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. So I grew up, and as we were talking a little bit before too, in a chiropractic household. So my father, he's a chiropractor, amazing chiropractor. And what's so cool is right when you walk into the doors, this was my like introduction to my faith. Right when you walk into the doors, he has this giant mural of the creation by Michelangelo with Adam and God and angels. And so, that actually inspired with the tattoo, because I have that as a tattoo. I remember seeing that as a little kid, and you know, he had a tattoo. My sisters had tattoos. I was like, oh, that would be awesome, right? So, anyways, that was like my introduction to faith, and it's really incredible because my father, as a chiropractor, operated from the standpoint, the power that made the body heals the body, and that was actually on the mural itself. And so, I remember just always, every time coming into the office, just seeing that over and over and over. And so that really started my journey to being a believer. And over time, I started to recognize this difference of being a believer to a follower.
That's good.
Of Christ. And it was really when I started to recognize those moments, it was actually really in the hardships that I've experienced in my life. And we were just talking about hardship that I experienced this last month being in the ER. That was actually a part of my experience when I was at the lowest lows of my life, going through a lot of health issues, in and out of the hospital, multiple weeks at a time, and even went through a divorce during that time as well, which was very, very hard. I recognized that in those moments, in those low moments, that I was really missing something that the world could never give and that only God could provide. And that's when I started to recognize, okay, there's something to being a follower of Christ and experiencing that goodness as compared to just kind of walking lukewarm, I guess is the best way to explain it. And so I started to recognize that not just within myself, but also people around you. I know for so many people, the catalyst for their growth and for them to really experience the presence of God is through a friend or through a loved one, through somebody that's close to them. And I experienced that with my mom as well. I saw her use her music gifts to draw close to him. And that's what I was like, okay, maybe I can do the same thing. I have some gifts. Maybe I can use those gifts that God has given me so I can glorify him. And that really kickstarted ultimately, my entrepreneur journey in that moment was looking at, okay, God, you've given me these gifts. How can I take these gifts, bless other people, glorify you in the process using these gifts?
So good. And he's being very humble right now, but he is a musician and phenomenal one at that. So he did adopt and also mirrored and also was given that musical chord in his body, which I think is so powerful. I am processing this for other people because I'm sure there's a lot of thought pattern on like, what are my gifts and how do you go about discovering what those gifts are? And then the next step to that is like, how do I then apply that to what it is that I'm supposed to do? I think the biggest area that most people are struggling with right now, which I hear consistently, is just lack of clarity. And I'd love to know in all of those things, I asked you basically three questions at once. So let's see if you can catch the balls. I'm throwing them fast, Austin. Okay.
Yeah, so first is like, I'm ready. I did play baseball, you know, growing up.
That's true. You ready? I'm not a lefty, so I don't got many curveballs. But first is, how do you discover your gifts? Two, how do you actually apply those? And then how do you get clear in that process?
Yeah, that's all. I love that. I think, first I like to mention a lot of people when they one of the biggest issues is that clarity aspect, like getting really clear on how to use those gifts. And oftentimes it takes just almost like putting that clarity aside in a way.
That's good.
To where it'll get in the way to where you won't even want to operate or try or to step into something because there's a lack. It's like a lack mindset in a way. So I just want to kind of preface that.
I agree.
Well.
We could stop there and the show would be over and I'd be like, figure that out. If you could figure that part out, you're done. Like literally put clarity to the side. Okay, let's go deeper.
Yeah. So number one, so really discovering those gifts, and you kind of mentioned it in a way like, oh, he's being very humble. He's a really great musician. I feel like oftentimes as Christians, we can be, I don't want to say too humble because that's not the right word, but there's a point where we don't really want to acknowledge how God has really blessed us with certain skills or abilities or gifts. And so a good way around that is if you feel uncomfortable trying to discover that yourself, or it's hard to discover that yourself, just ask people close to you, ask people around you, you know, like they see things in you that oftentimes you don't even see in yourself. And it could be because you do it all the time. You do it every day. Maybe you're a really great encourager, but you don't really recognize that as a gift, but people will affirm that in different ways because of the words that you've spoken into their life, you know? And so, I usually recommend just that. That's kind of the first go-to with your gifts is just really look at, you know, people in your life that are close to you, that really know you, that can really speak into that and just be like, hey, you know, share if you can, you know, I'm doing this little exercise, you know, Austin and Tamara really challenged me with this. Like, you know, what are three things that you've noticed about me that, I don't really notice about myself that I'm good at?
You know, what's interesting, Austin, before you go on to the next question is, my husband actually has cultivated this conversation with parents a lot. And you're a dad, so you know how this is, but oftentimes he'll hear people, either there's the parents who's like the boastful parents, right? And like their kid is the best at everything that they do and they never have a fault, which is rare, but sometimes they're there, especially in the sports industry. We're in the jujitsu, MMA world. And then there's the alternative who like, they're complaining. They're complaining about the process of parenthood. They're complaining about the struggle that they're dealing with their kiddos. And that's like all they see. And let's just take it to those who aren't parents. You do this probably with your spouse or your significant other. Like sometimes in seasons, all you see is the negative thing. And that's what you harbor on. And he'll literally just ask them like, I hear what you're saying. I'm really curious because I think it'll help us get some context here. Like what's their gift? What are they gifted in? And it always stops the parent in their tracks. Oftentimes they say they don't know. And the same thing goes when he asks grown men who he might be mentoring is like, what's your gift? And they're like, I don't know the answer to that. And so it seems commonplace for you and I to have this conversation because it's what we are dealing with in our work and the thing that we get to do every day. But most people go through life having zero idea what their actual gift is. And they're surely not putting it to play if they're unaware that they even have it, at least in context of like work. Let's just say like our 9-to-5. Maybe they use it as a hobby. Maybe they, you know, do it with their loved ones or their family members that they feel safe or close with. But let's go on to the next part of this question is, so now we're starting to discover our gift, but then how do we then apply it?
Yeah, apply it. You know, I think the best way to apply it is kind of like what I mentioned before is first kind of get like set aside clarity in a way. And I think oftentimes what we do is we get caught up in the clarity and worrying about, oh, is this something that I am good at? So there's a little bit of like, maybe, you know, like the imposter syndrome that comes along with your gifts or like stepping into them. It kind of reminds me of like, there's this really well done study that it took basically as like this film photography professor that had some students and he decided to break them up into two groups. And one of them was all about action where they would get graded upon their action that they did, basically like how many projects they did. Like, so it was quantity.
Cool.
And so, they would get, you know, 100 projects, they would get, you know, like an A, and then 90, yeah, a B, so on and so forth, right? And then there was another group that was all based upon quality. Mm-hmm. So they would only get graded upon one project, and that would be it. And the quantity outperformed the quality by a landslide. And it's all because they were actually stepping into it and taking action and not so worried about the processes, the systems, the perfectionism, all of the things like strategy wise. We kind of get caught up in this mode of either wanting everything perfect, or worse, or it's the opposite end of the spectrum where we don't want to move because we don't think we're good enough to be able to step into those gifts. And so when it comes to really applying those gifts is like, after you discover them, is really look at how can I just take a small step each day? Because we start to focus on perfectionism and strategizing and planning and preparing when we think about like the grand vision or the grand picture. Like oftentimes we get a vision from the Lord to use these gifts, and we focus on that vision, which is typically big. It should be big. It should be scary. And when we do that, that's when we start to really think about or stress about or worry about the planning, the prepping, the strategizing, all of the stuff that's like, wow, this is a big project or this is something that's huge. It's scary.
Yeah.
And so then it's either lack of moving because of imposter syndrome or because of perfectionism. So what we really need to do is look at, okay, so we've got these gifts. And often it's associated with that vision. Let's just look at how can we just move today? Like just a small little step so that we're at least taking action. And even if it's a little bit of action, it's a little bit of progress just to move, just to operate. And the little bit that we do, just that little bit is going to continue to move us forward, continue to drive us forward and discover more along the process, right? Like, like a lamp under our feet, like God will reveal next steps for us. And so if we are stepping, not like trying to take, you know, this deep dive cliff jump into the
massive action,
vision, right? But instead just taking those little steps and continue to abide in the Lord, continue to submit to Him, He will continue to reveal and reveal and reveal. But that's where, you know, He gives us a vision, which is awesome, which is really great, but He doesn't give us all the details because in the process, as we take a step, it's meant to continue to grow our faith and nurture and continue to build it up. And so there's an awesome, amazing purpose that's so much greater behind it that He has for us in this vision and in what we're called to do and what we're meant to do. But we need to just continue to keep focusing on those little steps for Him to continue to reveal, like, okay, here's some more gifts that He'll reveal or even certain gifts for you to start to hone in on or even specialize in as well.
That's good.
But that only happens if you just really focus on, okay, here's the next step. Here's the little step. Here's the little move, a part of this grand vision, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people too, it's like connected to resources, right? Mm. And so they will see that vision and they might even have like the gumption to believe like, yeah, I'm meant to stand on that stage with millions of people or yeah, I'm meant to be the voice of that show that is nationally syndicated or, you know, they have the bestseller. I'm going to be a New York Times bestseller. I'm going to be all those things are like there. And there's actually, I find more certain of it than they aren't, but the gap between why they're not there and where they are now, they tend to put pressure on the resources, the lack thereof, right? Well, I don't know how or who or what or where, how much, right? I'm rubbing my fingers like together, like money for those of you who are listening to the show. I should have put that one out first because most of the time people are like, well, I don't have the funds. I don't have the funds to do that. And I don't know whose voice that is that I was just mimicking, but it's not mine or Austin's. but it's funds. And then I find, you know, the fear piece is actually what's hiding behind the lack of action. Is actually hiding behind these simple things like resources of funds or the other big one I would say is time,
right? Well, I don't have the time to invest in becoming a best-selling author or becoming the best musician because I have these other responsibilities that are the primary way in which I need to make a living. Or they just, I think, become shackled to the way that they're supposed to live based on the projections of how they were taught to live or how they were shown to live. And so talk to me a little bit about taking the leap of faith from what is normal to what is actually living out a God calling and how that looks very different than how society projects it. Because I know you did this in your own life.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. So I think kind of really hitting on a real life application process of like what you mentioned with those fears. Because if you go to move and those fears aren't really addressed, it's kind of like, I like to look at it almost like a thermostat. You think about even like I like to recognize it. You were talking about finances, like a financial thermostat. Yeah,
totally.
If we have certain programming, almost like a blueprint, a thermostat that's set for different things that we experience in our life. And so finances is a really easy one where there are people who seem to, no matter how much money comes in or what season, they always seem to be in a certain like almost like parameter of debt or a certain like where they're just barely getting by.
That's good.
And so what they tend to do is like, okay, well, I need to start taking action and start doing these things so that I can change my situation. And what happens, it's like a thermostat that action is like you're opening up all the windows in your house, but the thermostat is still set for 68 degrees. So it's like you might experience a temporary result or like something that comes in that might be a little bit different, but because you haven't really addressed the internal thermostat, a part of like really what you believe or, it's you aren't going to experience long-term sustainable results. And so
that's good.
When it really comes to living on purpose with God, you have to really look at from that perspective as well, almost like your faith thermostat. What are you taking in and what are you believing? What are you addressing? What are you adjusting and adapting? And it comes back to, I think, the believer versus follower. If you're a believer, it's easy to on the outside to start moving and taking action, but it's not really in alignment with what you're really like deep down true faith, deep down true belief.
And I love that you circled it back to that.
Yeah.
I'll bring it back. Okay, yeah. Keep going.
So really living on purpose with God isn't as much about the results that you're wanting to experience in your life or that you're wanting to shift or that you're wanting to adjust, but really coming back to your belief and like, how am I adjusting and shifting and changing based upon what God is doing in my heart, what God is doing in my spirit? Because when you come from that standpoint, you come from that perspective, naturally you'll start like your action will start to become more in alignment with that.
That's so good. You guys, I have so many like thoughts in my brain right now. And it's circling me specifically to Joseph and the story of understanding who he was becoming from the time that the dream was deposited of his brothers to the time his brothers actually sat before him in that dream that was realized, right? And that it was like a 20, I was guesstimating it the other day based on the time frame of Potiphar's house and jail and all that. So like 22 to 24 years. Okay, that's a long time. I don't know about you, but when God gives me visions, I'm like, oh, that's going to happen in 2024. I am certain of it. And then you get there and you're like, okay, Lord. Okay, God. And you're like, did I dream that wrong? Did I hear from the Lord wrong? And he is not a God that's going to give you a false image. Like, that's not who he is. He's going to give you everything that is true, everything that is true. And the more that is true that you haven't yet realized, right? And so that becoming process and the way you linked it to being a follower versus a believer, right? I could believe with all my heart that that's going to happen. But if I've never taken the first step in following out that mission as a follower would, it's one step at a time, as close as the dust is off the sandals of his shoes, right? We have to stay in tandem. And that means that the Lord is actually more concerned, not about that moment, not about that glitz and glam moment, but about what your heart posture is when you get to that moment, and then how it's going to produce seed in the other people it was connected to. So had Joseph had that experience and that encounter sooner with his brothers, he could have been angry. He could have responded with so much resentment. So many things could have happened, but he was literally had to go from a pit to Potiphar's house to prison to a palace before he ever had that opportunity to be face to face with his brothers. And at that point, he was just in awe of what God had done in him, had already blessed him with a family, had already given him love, had already taught him forgiveness, had already shown him mercy in so many situations. So I am so much about, that's the name of my book, obviously, Always Becoming. But honestly, Austin, I don't even think I knew what that meant until a couple years after I published that book, like the depth of what that means to always be becoming more like Christ, and that it's really not, the quote is like, you know, it's about the journey, not the destination. And I was always like, that's catchy, but not cool. I don't want that, right? But now I'm really resting in that, especially as an entrepreneur, because every day, every season looks totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love that too, because that's where I think part of coming back even to the clarity aspect, we get way too caught up in the destination. Well, it's like, well, what happens when you reach that destination?
Right.
It's like, oh, next. Instead of really being, like you said, just resting in that journey and always becoming. Like that's,
there's a lot of research about that and how, whether it's suicide, right, where you see people get to like the top of the climax of what we all imagine is like the most amazing place, the summit, right? And then they commit suicide. And I've had season of suicidal ideation, and I was in a place where looking in, people would be like, man, she's got it all. And it was such a lie. There were so much like fake elements to what they were seeing, because I wasn't actually who I was yet to become, right? I was actually this false image for other people to see and perceive, but I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't satisfied for who I was. And I didn't even know who I was. I literally had no idea what the word identity even meant at that point in my life. And so that is really what we're speaking about here, is like, knowing your gifts is like a first step in finding out how the maker made you, right? And that's an easy thing to even represent Christ to other people without being like throwing the Bible at someone, right? It's not about that. Jesus is like, will you just see them how I see them? Will you call out the gold inside of them? Will you encourage them in their gifts? And what a beautiful way to walk life out with someone. And I'm literally in a moment of just spiritual conviction as I'm even saying this, is because how much more simple is that kind of love than it is to say, before I walk life with you, you have to be like this version of yourself. You have to be pure. You have to be clean. You have to be holy. You have to be righteous. You have to know the Bible. You have to read in the morning and go to bed at a certain hour. You have to work out. You have to be this type of mom or this type of dad or this type of entrepreneur before I'll walk life with you, when Jesus himself never did that to anybody that he spent time with. He didn't want to hang out with the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so, I just feel like this is so much more than just like figure out your calling and walk in your gifting. It's more so, how are we living like Christ as the people who are in the becoming process? And are we willing to see people the way Jesus sees us?
Yeah, I love that. That's good. And that's so true. And that's something like my wife, we've been having conversations about that as well. Just when it comes to experiencing people in general, just asking that simple question, well, how does Jesus see them? And how can we look through that sort of a lens, that sort of a filter, instead of the way of the world? I love that.
It's so good. Well, we label people, right? Like that's the typical element, is to label them rather than to nurture their gift or nurture their potential. And I think even people, the education system's doing this, political system's doing this. Like, they're ready to put you in a box and they're ready to say, this is where you belong. And that's truly a lie, because that's not living in freedom. And so there's so much expression in unpacking your gift, and you get to do that in so many different sectors of who you are, whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, right? I mean, relationally, familially, like everything's going to look different for different people. As you were like walking out your leap of faith into entrepreneurship, and you had a lot of cool kind of backstory experiences with larger companies. Tell me, I actually don't think I know about your experience with LifeSurge, and how does that now affect like what you do and how you serve people?
Yeah, that's great. So when I started my entrepreneurial journey, I invested in a coaching program that was the greatest investment that I had ever had part of a mastermind, where I jumped straight in. And through that process, it actually led to relationships. Something that I say all the time is, when you connect, you collect. Mm-hmm. And that very decision to invest in that mastermind allowed me to develop a relationship with the owner of that mastermind, the founder, where we have an incredible business partnership today, or relationship, where I'm plugged in. And that was actually what the reason how I got connected to LifeSurge was because of him as well. And so, it's really incredible how, like, just the importance. And this is another thing I think that, just another saying, my wife and I, we've been talking a little bit about this too, how it's never about the destination. It's always about the people.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Whenever you connect with people, there's just so much opportunity to experience what God has for you through them.
So good.
And especially when you're able to recognize the gifts that God has given you, it's almost like this twofold opportunity, where when you are aware of those gifts and you're operating in those gifts, and as you connect with more people, they start to experience and see those gifts. And especially when you're abiding in Christ and you're really following him, you're using that as an opportunity to continue to bless, bless and serve and give, and bless and serve and give. They will experience that, and it just opens the doors for connections and deeper relationships with people that God has in store for you that you never knew had in store for you. And so that was my entrepreneur journey starting out. Was, I had no idea what I was going to do. I just knew I went through a lot of health issues. I was really good at like marketing. And I stepped into the space as a life coach, and I just started to move and continue to move. And that's when God continued to reveal and continued to reveal. And I allowed fear during that time, to be honest. Like, I allowed fear to take hold of what I was doing. And I remember I was stepping into the space doing a lot of content about coaching and just encouraging. And it wasn't landing, I felt like, with anyone. I wasn't really getting much engagement or anything. And so I had a few marketing clients, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to show up on a camera anymore. I'm just going to sit behind a computer screen, just do marketing and be comfortable here. And God was like, nope, that's not where I want you to be. Wow. But I ignored it. And it's like, no matter how much you try to ignore it, walk away from it, you just... When you truly abide in Christ, like he continues to knock, and he continued to knock for about a year and a half. And I finally decided to respond, and that's when I was led to Instagram and started to produce content on there, and it just, everything just started to take off like a rocket ship, and continue to bless and serve and give just through my content. And because I've done that, it's just continued to open door after door after door. And what's incredible, that year and a half, there was a lull kind of in the relationship with, you know, Life on Fire, LifeSurge, and some of the, you know, partners that I'm with. And when I started to really produce that content and give and serve, it reopen those connections, which I find is very interesting, you know? And so it's like when you really step into where God is calling you and you use the gifts that He's calling you to use, there's going to be opportunities that you don't even realize or know because He predestined them for you to experience. And that's like Ephesians 2:10, where we are God's handiwork and He created us for good works that He predestined for us. And so when you really take that into consideration as well as you move along in your entrepreneur journey, just know that there are opportunities that God has in store for you, you know, that you may not even recognize, may not even know, but the only way that you'll reveal them is if you continue to step, bless, love, give, serve, continue to step, bless, love, serve, and give. So
I have the analogy that I always love to bring to light when it's kind of ignited, which was connected to the connect and collect, right? And that I'll be in an environment with friends or something, and we'll either have a new person who's come into that group, or we're introducing ourselves to somebody new. And I see that like mosaic that the Lord is forming for, I know my life individually, but it's not just mine. It's connected to everybody else's mosaic, right? And that it's like this tiny little puzzle piece, and the Lord is just like, here you go. And no different than any other puzzle. When you're like, where in the world is this going to go in this 10,000 part puzzle? Like, I love puzzles, but don't give me something over 1,000. I just don't want to play. I don't want to play the game anymore. But I'm realizing that the Lord is like, this is an endless puzzle. It's an eternal puzzle that I've already put together. It's literally already perfectly made, and you're never going to miss a piece, right? And so the clarity that comes piece by piece is really person by person, because those people make up the entirety of his plan. And so it's no different like meeting you and your beautiful bride, and like you guys coming and seeing the synergy and just the way that we all like flow together when we're operating and abiding in Christ's plan and not trying to operate in our own accord. Like, there is truly nothing better. And so I hope that as people are listening to this, maybe they're getting clearer on the picture that God has given them simply by putting the revelation that the people in your corner are oftentimes your best resource. And I don't mean that by like go knocking on the door and like, hey, I heard you have resources for me. Can you give me this of you? Because I am assuring you that if they're walking in their anointing, if they're walking in that abiding like quality that we were speaking to, they're going to give it to you, and it's not going to cost them a thing. It literally won't. And that's why when people are like speaking to me like about my energy, about my joy, it's like, it doesn't cost me a thing to do that thing. So I'm so glad I blessed you, but I didn't even really know that I was doing it. It just falls out, right? And so I think that when we stand in our gift, that's what happens, is that it comes with such fluidity. And that's why the Lord says, my yoke is easy, my burden, and my burden is light, is because we have to stay in that yoke for that to be the case. Otherwise, we're striving and burning out, and we're getting into a place of exhaustion and overwhelm.
Yeah, that's good. And really staying in that, that's, reminds me a little bit of how, you know, just with those gifts, like recognizing what God is blessing in your life and being in alignment with that as well.
That's good.
I really think that oftentimes when we do start to operate in our gifts and we start to experience the clarity and even more clarity, and we start to experience the fruit of that and the results, oftentimes that will bring about less clarity, because when we start to experience more fruit and results, we start like different avenues or opportunities or different paths start to open up. And what we need to do is always recognize, okay, God, like these, coming back to the gifts, coming back to, okay, this is where the divine clarity occurred, because as you start to operate in that, you start to open up more doors and more opportunities, more things that can distract you from the original thing that brought you clarity, the original gifts, the original blessings, the original, the steps that you've taken. And so I've experienced that in my own journey with producing content as well, where, I produced content and it brought about a lot of clarity for me in what I was, you know, called to do and meant to do with content, and really help others, encourage others, bless others, and serve them. And then as that started to bring about success and results, it started to open up different pathways. And then I started to get almost like that burnout feeling, basically, like we're saying, like that burnout and that stress and that overwhelm, because I started to think, okay, well, what if I could do this or do this or do this or do this or do this? And I think there's opportunities to where you could still do certain things, but based really upon what the Lord will speak to you and show to you and reveal to you. But as soon as we start to look at the results and look at the fruit and how we can almost like sidestep the path, the original path that brought us clarity, that's going to bring about less clarity.
That's just so good and so wise. I'm processing too. Like I mentioned, like people will, you should be able to give it away freely. Well, if people get too close or too comfortable or too ungrateful for the gifts and the fruit that you're sharing freely, as you've talking about, you can also sense that tension where you feel like you don't feel quenched by their presence. You feel like discouraged by it. And so I do think when we're talking about opportunities, we're also talking about relationships and people, and that you could potentially do something for a season that still was bearing fruit that wasn't necessarily in the fullness of your calling, but is still serving God's plan. And that he will give you grace for that door to close when it's the right time. But there are other opportunities that I know I have personally taken where very quickly I started to recognize like, whoa, something's off. Like, I don't feel in flow here. I don't feel at peace here. I'm losing sleep about this. There doesn't seem to be symmetry in the way in which we're going. And, you know, I definitely haven't pivoted as fast as sometimes I should. In those regards, kind of like you saying it took you a year and a half to do content, right? Yeah. So we're all guilty of it. But it's this knowing that like when I'm abiding and I am obedient to the Holy Spirit, those things tend to stay in one accord more easily. But when I get in my flesh and I start operating from that place of even my, I don't know about you, Austin, can you tell the difference between like your fleshly imagination and your spirit-led imagination or dreaming or vision? Have you been able to decipher that yourself?
It's funny you bring that up because I was thinking about asking you the same thing. If you, because there's moments that I've experienced where there's, it can be a little bit difficult sometimes, right? Like when it's a natural kind of, a natural overwhelm that is kind of a, that is because maybe it's something new. It's a little bit challenging. Right. There's a little work around with it. Some like a learning curve. Cause, I know as far as entrepreneurs, like we tend to, there's a lot of people that will tend to, start a new project. And there's kind of this natural like excitement about something new, right? Like kind of shiny object syndrome or strategy syndrome.
Totally.
Like this is fun. This is new. This is exciting. And then as we get into it, it's like this almost uninformed optimism of like, we don't really fully know what it takes to take on this project or take on this, you know, strategy or whatever it is. So we hop into it and we're really excited. And then there's a moment where it's like, okay, we start to recognize the amount of energy, time, work, effort, money that it's going to take to really take on this project or take on this strategy or whatever it is, you know? So, as we start to experience that, then it's like we go into this dip, like this lull or this valley and being able to recognize, okay, if, and that's where it's a little bit tricky, but always, you know, always seek first the kingdom and abide in him. And I honestly believe that there's, when you're operating in your gifts, and in your calling, there's still that overwhelm, like that, that overwhelm doesn't go away, but there's a different in almost like a different presence with it or an energy when it's your own desire as compared to what God wants you to experience.
I agree.
And I think too, oftentimes that, just kind of coming back to people and really connecting with people, God will use people, especially when you're in that dip, when you're kind of in that valley where it's difficult and you are experiencing some of that overwhelm, where he will use people to encourage you in that specific thing that you're, or project or calling or entrepreneurial journey, whatever it is that you're doing in that moment, to affirm, hey, like, you got this, keep going. Like, it's going to get
good.
Better.
That's good.
I feel like that is the biggest indicator that I've experienced personally, is when I'm surrounding myself with other followers, that God will use them to encourage me to continue during those times of overwhelm and stress. And, even though that overwhelm and stress doesn't go away, there's a different kind of connotation associated with it, or a different presence associated with it, to help you to continue to move forward, to push through that valley. Because we, with any new project, with anything, yes, there is that valley, yes, there. So,
yeah, I think that's really profound, actually. And I'm glad that you brought it up, because there can definitely be that, like, Christianese understanding of, like, well, when you're operating your calling, you're just going to be freely flowing. You're going to feel totally aligned. All the fruit's just going to fall off your tree. You're going to have bushels and baskets filled to pass out to other people. You're going to have so much bounty. Okay. Yes. And right. Like, think about the disciples and all of the expressions of frustration and confusion and concern and worry. Like, there was all of this, and they were literally walking with Jesus in that time. And so, yeah, even after, when they had then the Holy Spirit to empower them to go do these things, they still struggled and did the things they didn't want to do, right? Like, I don't know why I do the things that I don't want to do, right? Says Paul. And so processing that for ourselves, one, giving ourselves that grace and understanding, but two, you said it perfectly from Matthew, is like, if we're seeking him first and his righteousness, that's always the second part of that, then, yeah, the desires of our heart will be ours. But the only reason that that's the case is because the desires are now aligned to him first, right? Because we've aligned, yeah, our heart to his. And, yeah, so just to give some examples of times where I've felt that way, I kind of mentioned one through, like, a relationship internally with my company. I would say building a team has been one of those things where it's like, I'm a natural galvanizer. I can bring tons of people together for an idea, and, like, all of us will be on the same plane. This is so awesome. But when you have to, like, keep that team, that's a hard thing to do. It's also in the hiring process something that's difficult for me, because I see the best in people very quickly, and I trust people very quickly. And I don't necessarily ask those questions of, like, oh, what are your weaknesses? I just see the best in them. And I have, yeah, to remember that there's a multifaceted person, human being, that's coming underneath my guidance, my leadership, my finances. And so that's been an area where I know I am meant to grow a team in order to move this mission forward. That's an overwhelm that I've felt. That's a pressure that I've felt. But again, if it's about not the destination, but the becoming, is who is Tamara becoming in the, mm-hmm, process of feeling this tension and this friction? I'm becoming a better leader. I'm becoming, yeah, a better communicator. I am becoming, yeah, a person who is more empowered by her no than I am empowered by my yes. I am becoming a person who is empathetic. I am becoming, yeah, a person who is, and it's like, continue, because it's going to continue to grow as we continue to say yes to our callings and follow God closely in that. And so I was trying to process, like, what's an example of that? And, like, it's hard. None of that is easy. It was much easier, I feel like, I don't know if they would agree in the hindsight, but when my friends were all just like, yeah, I'll help you. But then we got to a point where, like, that was no longer easy. It was actually really difficult, because they didn't owe me anything and I didn't owe them anything, but we never wanted to lose our friendships. So yeah, I want to make a note for people to know that. And so I'm so glad that you brought it up, that it still becomes about following and not just being a believer. And it 100% is about, always going to come back to people and the personhood of Jesus, right? The person of Jesus is the first person that we want to become like and be close to, so that the Holy Spirit can guide us into the truth and the way and the life of how we're supposed to be operating here on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah. Amen. That's so good. That's so good. There's one thing too that I've recognized that might help some people when it comes to experiencing that, like, overwhelm and that stress, is, yeah, there's almost like, there's two things. One, you feel a pull yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you kind of feel drawn, or like this natural desire, this natural burning desire kind of on the inside. There's that. But then there's also the second aspect, which is like a nudge or a push from the Lord, like where, you know, I feel like often, you know, how God he doesn't care about our comfort. he's more concerned about our character and how we're developed. Like you said, who is Tamar becoming as a leader? And so I think that oftentimes a good way to recognize that this isn't just something that I'm really striving in to for that burnout type of experience is there a push and also a pull at the same time? Like are they both there instead of just one or the other? And I think that's where oftentimes God will push you or nudge you, and that could be through other people, and also pull you through other people as well. But that pull is more of that that confirmation on the inside that's like Holy Spirit driven. I believe.
Yeah. That's so good. I would say like on the other side of that, because that's like the God-led overwhelm, right? Mm-hmm. Because of our character versus calling. On the other side of that, if you're experiencing overwhelm or lack of clarity or any of those other things, and it's either an enemy tactic or it's self-infused because of the, you know, just our own mindsets or our own belief systems, as you were saying, what do you think the juxtaposing position is so that people can potentially get clarity on that? Like how does their overwhelm maybe either feel in their body or feel in their spirit time, like their time with the Lord?
Yeah. Oftentimes in those seasons or moments that I've experienced that, it's a lot easier. I tend to put my time, like my time with the Lord, on the back burner, or I'm not as in tune or in alignment with what I really prioritize, like what I really enjoy or value in my life. I always look at five values that I is kind of like a barometer in my life to make sure that I'm prioritizing those. And if something, cause that's when I honestly feel like when you seek first, you know, the Lord, you seek his kingdom and his righteousness. When that is first, everything else will fall into place much easier. And so the five values that I really like to look at are like my faith, my fitness, my family, my finances, and fun. And I like to look at those five as a barometer to really look at, okay, am I operating with seeking first the kingdom, and how am I rating on these values? Because if they're more high, then I feel like overall that intentional living on purpose with him and what I'm doing is going to affect every single one of those areas. And so whenever that's not in alignment, if it's more me focusing on something that's worldly or fleshly, my own desires, those will naturally not be as ranked high. I'm not prioritizing them as much, and that will then obviously, like for me, I feel like a lot of people, you then start to experience different results and different emotions, that's when that type of a stress or that overwhelm, it's not a peaceful type overwhelm or stress, because it's out of alignment. Those values aren't prioritized as much. And you start to get a lot, like just really, really off balance. Like I think there's a really great way to be on balance, still experiencing that overwhelm and stress because you're in alignment with where God is calling you and leading you, even though it is uncomfortable, even though it is stressful or overwhelming at times, you can still have balance.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. We've got two live listeners that are on now that have been popping in the chat the entire time. Tyranny and her husband, Jeff Sherrill. I was just at her incredible Live Bold retreat. You probably remember them, at least Tyranny from the conference last year. And she said, a great quote is that overwhelm is the abundance of what you once prayed for, which I could totally receive that. And then just a commentary from God, like, do you trust me? Do you trust me when it comes to all of these things? And I think that those are two really powerful comments. My natural, if it's not of God, my natural overwhelm default, which was even pre-Jesus. So I think that's something too for people to think about, like before you were a follower of Christ and maybe just a believer or just didn't at all, what were your natural tendencies of suppression or coping mechanisms? And one of those for me is sleep. And so I'll find myself like really tired. I'll find myself taking naps in the middle of the day, even though I'm an avid napper. I love naps. But like those are like 20-minute naps, power naps, versus like I don't want to get up, or going to bed so early and not waking up for my Bible time, not waking up to work out. Then it ends up flowing into how I'm eating. And then if I'm eating more carb intensive, more in general throughout the day, I then feel lethargic. And so now I'm not moving. I mean, it's this wild cycle that I can get into really quickly. And luckily I've got barricades and people in my life who are safe people in my life who will start to point those things out to me. And I don't feel offensive about them because they're just trying, they're like guardrails, right? It's like putting me back in place. And so I would encourage you to like process that for yourself and make sure that you're not just like looking at those things in passing of like, oh, it's okay. It's just a season. It's just hard. It's like, no, like there's actually more going on here when you start to go to those coping mechanisms rather than running to the Lord. So I think you said it really beautifully of like, what's the prioritization in your life and when do you feel most in flow versus when are you doing it in your own accord and therefore you're responding in what your body wants or your flesh wants rather than what your spirit man knows is good and wholesome.
Yeah, that's good. And you meant, because you said how it affect that coping mechanism, it then affected your faith and your fitness or health. And totally. So like it affects each one of those. So if you use that as just like a little technique, just like once a week or once a month, just a little check-in to say, hey, where am I at on a scale of 1 to 10 with these five areas?
Yeah.
You can kind of start to almost like work it backwards. It's like, okay, this is like the results or how I'm feeling with these areas, then I need to make some adjustments or some shifts because, you know, that coping mechanism might be showing up or you can be aware of it so you can make those shifts, you know?
Yeah. And when you guys read like 7 Habits of a Highly Effective Leader or The Purpose Driven Life, or you look to stats about how these people's morning routines are, you see why people are wake up early and have these like regimen routines because that obedience is what catapults them into better activity during their day. And that's where that momentum, that faith walk of saying, okay, Lord, I trust you. I'm just going to go after today and I'm going to look for you in the process of like the people that you interact with, the opportunities that come my way. And he is the gate, right? Like he's going to protect you in that regard. And he's also your provision. And so you don't have to go from a place of striving to do so. Austin, this has been such an amazing conversation. We could just keep geeking out about all of the different layers. I want people who are listening. Yeah, we really could. People who are listening to be able to engage with you because you, I know, have the life coaching background. You have the marketing genius. What are some of the things that are opportunistic for the listeners to join in? And I know you likely have some masterclass or opportunity for them in that regard too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, just my website, austinblanchfield.com. Cool. They can go there and I've got a free membership site where they can get plugged in from there, where I have different, you know, like courses, trainings, masterclasses that are available. It's a part of a community on a school platform, which is an awesome platform. So, free membership site there for people to get plugged in and, any way that I can love, serve, and bless. That's I'm here. So
I love it. And it's so apparent. And even if you guys just get on Austin's newsletter, his inbox, I love reading your stuff. There's not many newsletters that I open, but I read Austin's stuff because there's always all these gold nuggets. And I'm like, ooh, that's inspiring. Ooh, I'm going to use that for content today. Like it just, it literally ignites me in a good way. And I think more people need that. So thanks for being a value add, even when you don't know that you're being it specifically to me. But it is your heart to love and serve and to bless others. And you do so, so beautifully. So I just pray continued favor over everything that you have going on and for the group to just continue to expand. I imagine that they're going to be, I don't know why, I just see you actually in the forefront of a movement that is going to encourage people to live their life in just the bounty of their gifts. And I don't know what that actually looks like, but I could just literally, as I'm standing here, I'm like, I could just see that for you. I'm excited to see what it looks like.
That's good. I receive that. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's so good.
So good.
Thank you for, just sharing your heart and your prayers as well. I know this, with this past month and thanks to your prayers and have an awesome community. Awesome. And everyone from FounderCon as well. Yeah. Like they're reaching out to me as well and just being like praying for you, support. And so it's just, it's incredible. And what you've done, what you've built, the community that you have is just, it's such a blessing. And I'm just so thankful. So thankful.
I'm excited to get the family together again. That's what I feel like it is at the end of the day. It's just family supporting one another, highs and lows. We got it. We get it, right? We all get it because we're all doing the thing. That's a powerful part too. So I love you guys. Give your bride and your baby kisses and we will see you soon.
Yeah. I love you too. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye y'all. Thanks. Hey y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you might even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and it's going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out. And thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
Well, the physician comes in and says, tells this lovely couple, hey, your son's not going to make it. But there's a young girl here in the hospital who just delivered a baby girl and she's given her up. She's going to leave her here. Do you want her instead?
That was chart topper Ryan Stevenson sharing a personal testimony on The Walk, a podcast for worshipers. Join us weekly to hear artists, songwriters, worship leaders, filmmakers, and other creatives tell their stories in the form of a devotional. The Walk can be found on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast platform.